in the flesh. You all see this picture up here? I don't know if this is supposed to be Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. Maybe, but certainly he didn't have a bound Bible there either. So you can just ignore that part of it. Maybe it's really a Torah scroll, okay? It's just an optical confusion that you see there. But he talked about this thorn in the flesh, and I want to talk about it because sometimes the Lord allows things in our life in order to redirect and correct our ways and our path. And until we get areas in our life right and correct before the Lord, sometimes He allows something to keep nudging us and nudging us and in this case, poking us and poking us until we get our eyes focused on Him and directed toward Him. And that's what I want to talk about today. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I just pray your blessing, your anointing upon your word today. I pray that you'd give us all clear discernment and understanding, that we would listen intently and your word would be planted on solid ground in our hearts. In Yeshua's name, amen. You can go to the next slide. Oh, no, you know what? It says the same thing. So let's just keep that up there. You can go back. It says the exact same thing. Turn with me in your scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. And this is Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, speaking. And he says here, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Messiah who 14 years ago was caught up in or caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. And he heard inexpressible things. Things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself. I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me. Wow, she doesn't like what I'm saying. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Messiah's power may rest on me. This is why, for the Messiah's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now again, this was Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, speaking. And it's believed that when he's talking about that he knew a man in Messiah who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven, that he's really talking about himself. But he does not want to say that because he does not want it to become a conceited or a prideful thing. But later on, he kind of expresses that as you read the rest of this message here. Now, we don't know what this thorn in the flesh was that he was going through. We don't know. You know, there's a lot of thought, there's a lot of speculation that he had some affliction or some persistent temptation or constant persecution was taking place in his life. Or maybe he had chronic malaria, which was very common during those days. Or he had even migraine headaches. Or he had epilepsy or some kind of speech disorder. Or a vision problem because when he was stoned and left for dead, we don't know what this thorn in his flesh was. However, the fact that he goes on to say he's able to rejoice in the midst of this thorn, this thing taking place in his life, I believe it teaches us a great lesson. You know, when I was working on this, you know, I thought about myself, my wife, I thought about a lot of us, things that we're going through, the things that God sometimes wants us to go through. Now, I believe that God wants us to be healed. God wants us to be restored. God wants us to be made whole. But it's not always in our timing. It's not always in the way that we want it to take place. Sometimes God says, yes, but not now. Because God is teaching us something. God wants us to learn something in the midst of this. So he allows certain things to take place in our lives to prepare us and get us ready for what God wants to do in our lives. Maybe we're in a place in our lives where we're not doing the things we're supposed to. Maybe we are not seeking the Lord with all of our heart. Maybe we're not in the Word and studying it and learning it. Maybe we're not fasting or sitting in His presence. Maybe there's things we're just not doing and the Lord allows a certain sickness or a certain problem or a persecution or things to take place in our life so that we will seek Him with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. Sometimes God has to do that because we're disobedient, because we're not willing to listen to what He wants to tell us and what He wants to show us. You know, it says here that Rav Shaul, he prayed three times. In fact, it says he pleaded with him three times. Now, when we say pleaded, that meant intense prayer and pleading, maybe on his hands and face, pleaded with the Lord and cried before the Lord. But the Lord was not willing to. And there was a reason for that. He wanted to make sure that Rav Shaul, Apostle Paul, that he would stay humble, that he would not get conceited, that he would not allow the fact that God is using him in such an amazing way where he's raising the dead and opening the eyes of the blind and the deaf hear and the mute speak and the crippled are walking and he's casting out unclean spirits. Let me tell you, if that's taking place and God is using you in that powerful way, it's easy to get caught up in yourself. It's easy to get prideful. It's easy to get conceited because you go from God's power and what God's doing in your life into, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. I'm raising the dead. I'm opening the eyes of the blind. I'm causing the crippled to walk. Look what I'm doing. But it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's totally about what God is doing. And he pleaded three times for God to relieve him of this affliction, whatever it was. You know, when trouble comes, it comes with a purpose, because God does not waste suffering. He does not waste it at all. We need to realize that for our own good, that God's answer is sometimes no, or God's answer sometimes is wait, or God says not right now, but later on. But you know what? Sometimes God does not heal, and sometimes God does not relieve. And this is one of the great mysteries that we can ask the Lord when we get up to heaven. I know Irene has said this to me and shared this with me a number of times. Her mom was very sick. I remember her mom, She was on dialysis every, I don't know, it was every day or every other day. She had to go on the dialysis machine and how horrible it is. And she had her, because of diabetes, she had her leg cut off and all these different things. And Irene prayed and prayed and prayed, God, heal her. God, heal her. God. And God never did. And she couldn't understand why God didn't heal her mom. And it was even maybe for a while a faith crisis there. She lost her faith because God did not heal her mom. And maybe someday when we get to heaven, we know we can say, Lord, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you heal my mama? You know, why didn't you? There's things that we don't understand. We just don't understand. We don't understand. Just sometimes doesn't make any sense. But it's a great mystery. Maybe it's better that we don't know the exact nature of this thorn in the flesh that the Apostle Paul had. That way we can fill in the blank for whatever we're going through and apply it to our own lives as well for God's purpose in the pain that we're going through. We can take our burden to the Lord and we can just leave it there. And I don't know, or I don't think that Apostle Paul is advising us to stop praying and asking after three times. I think that we need to keep searching and we keep need to pray and plead and seek the Lord. And understand that God's purposes are beyond us sometimes. They really are. But God kept Rav Shaul in touch with his limitations here. He had been given extraordinary revelations. 14 years ago, it's extraordinary revelations, taking up to a third heaven and seeing things that man is not permitted to tell. I can't even imagine what that was. He'd been given these great revelations. Wouldn't have been surprising if he started to think, like I said, very highly of himself or too much of himself, taking credit for a success. So he was given the blessing of this thorn in the flesh. Can you imagine calling it a blessing to have a thorn in the flesh? Let me tell you something. For my own life, personally, I've been going through some physical things that have really been extremely difficult for me. But what it caused me to do is to seek the Lord like I've never sought the Lord before. And as a result of that, I've seen God bring about change in my life. I've seen the Lord cause me or help me to pray more, to be in the Word more, to fast more, to sit in His presence, to seek Him with all of my heart. Maybe I would not have done that if I didn't have this thorn in the flesh. And I still have the thorn in the flesh that I'm referring to. Two, but God is using it as a blessing in my life. A blessing. And maybe God will give you that blessing as well. I'm sure you're looking forward to it, right? Oh, not much there, huh? But we may find some benefits from that thorn. God has discovered not so much through the miraculous displays of power, but through times of great suffering. Testing and human weakness, that's where God is found, through that weakness and times of suffering. God wants us to triumph over our weaknesses and afflictions and through them to become more compassionate and effective in encouraging other people as well. But look what God's answer to him was. He said, His grace is sufficient for that human weakness. His grace is sufficient. Oh, that's such a hard thing sometimes. It really is. How is grace the remedy for pain? How is it the solution and remedy for pain. Grace leads us to learn from our limitations. We are to learn from our limitations. We can't fix our pains. Only God can do that. It's only God who can take care of it. We can grow from our experience and learn to depend on God in the midst of our problems. Our hardships make us better qualified to comfort other people in our lives. Before we can dry someone else's tears, we have to learn how to weep. And I've been learning how to weep. Now, I'm not saying I've become a crybaby, but I've... Okay. All right. I'm a crybaby. I'm trying to learn how to weep. And God, I believe, is bringing sensitivity and change in my life. How can we ever experience the comforting power of God without first being uncomfortable? You know, in the Brit Chadashah, in the New Covenant, we read that Rashaul, the Apostle Paul, in the authority of the Messiah, Yeshua, commands demonic spirits to come out and sick people to be healed. Yet here he asked the Lord, he pleaded with the Lord, three times to take this thorn from him, but the Lord was not willing to do that. In the book of Matthew, and you can turn to it if you want, book of Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, brought to Yeshua, to Jesus. And he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities, and he carried all of our diseases. You know, when sick people were brought to Yeshua, he healed them all. He didn't say to any of them, it's not my will for you to be well. He never said that. Or, I've got a purpose for you being sick, so I'm just going to let you stay that way and suffer. There's not one single case where Yeshua told a sick person that he was unwilling to heal him, except this one case. This one case with Rav Shaul and the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh. That's the one instance. And listen what the Apostle Paul says here. He says that it was a messenger from Satan sent to torment him. A messenger from Satan sent to torment him. Now, did God allow that? Did God allow that? Yes. Satan cannot do anything to us unless God allows it to take place. God allowed this to take place, because Satan can do nothing unless God gives him the authority and the permission. Now, Ed Murphy, in the book called The Handbook for Spiritual Warfare, tells us, he said, I believe Paul struggled with a continuing affliction that, while allowed by God, was demonic in origin. Murphy mentions that demonic activity is sometimes allowed by God to take place. We find our basis for this in the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, where the Lord allowed Satan to test Job for his faithfulness. The scripture tells us that God had a hedge of protection that he placed around Job, but that he removed it in order for Satan to test him. I think we're all familiar with the concept of afflictions being allowed by the Lord to take place. And this is what God allowed to happen to Job and what happened to the Apostle Paul as well. At certain times, the Lord chose to take away the hedge of protection from him so that a messenger of Satan could come and torment him from some kind of illness. And Rashaul was given this thorn to keep him humble. And God allows this to happen to every single believer so so that we realize our total and complete dependence on God. It's total. No doubt he thought, Lord, I could do a whole lot more if I didn't have this thorn in my flesh. And you know, and I think the same thing for myself all the time. Lord, I could do so much more for you if I didn't have this thorn, if I didn't have this weakness or this illness or this problem in my life. I could be so much more beneficial to the kingdom of God. I could do so much more for you, Lord. It's like we're trying to bargain with the Lord here. Come on, Lord, you know, if you'll get rid of this, look what I'll do for you, Lord. It sounds like a good deal to me, huh? What do you think, Lord? It seems that Rav Shaul had some kind of recurring issue or illness that weakened him. And when he suffered from this illness, it was a red flag or as a warning that he needed to search his heart for any possible sin area and then confess it to the Lord. It was a warning about his behavior and that he needed to correct it if need be. Need be, because not all illnesses and not all bad things happen to us as a result of our sin. It's not always the case. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we become victims of someone else's sin. And then other times, nature just happens. Things just happen. Still, when we suffer from an illness, it's a good idea to thoroughly examine and search your heart for any hidden or known sin. And if you find any sin in your life, confess it to the Lord so that you can be forgiven and cleansed, as it says in 1 John 1:9. But let me tell you what. If you're going through something in your life, some illness, some sickness, some trauma, some problem in your life, and you don't know what's going on, the first thing you need to look at is, am I sinning? Is there sin in my life that's causing this? And let me tell you, sin can cause sickness, illness, disease, cancer, arthritis. You name it. Sin can lead to that in your life. And you need to seek the Lord with all of your heart if you're experiencing some of this in your life. And that thorn in the flesh visited him as an answer to maybe pride. You know, pride is often viewed in the Bible as sin. In fact, Murphy, in that book, The Handbook of Spiritual Warfare, tells us that pride is the root cause of all sin in heaven and earth. And if you don't believe this and look through the scripture, it was pride that motivated people to build the Tower of Babel. And it was pride that resulted in Lucifer rebelling against God and then getting kicked out of heaven. It was pride that caused Peter to declare that he would never deny Yeshua, even when Yeshua said that he would. And it was pride that made the disciples argue among themselves who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Yes, pride. Sometimes we experience a physical response to our spiritual and our psychological state of being. Many physical diseases are either related to or made worse by stress or excessive stress in our lives. Why do people become stressed? It's because they're taking too much of the burden upon themselves instead of casting all their cares upon the Lord because he cares for them. As we read in 1 Peter 5:7. Now let me ask you this. Anybody have stress in their lives? You have stress? You feel just overwhelmed sometime and you're so stressed out? It's because, as I'm learning, I am not casting all my cares upon him because he cares for me. It's because I'm trying to do things in my own strength and in my own power, thinking that I can do it and I don't need God's help. And I'm learning that. I want us all to learn about getting rid of that stress in our lives. It's because they fail to listen again to those words of Yeshua from Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Lord. Whenever we begin to experience some physical symptoms, it should be an immediate red flag that causes you and I to ask, what am I doing in my life to cause me to be stressed out? What am I doing or what am I not doing? In what way am I trying to do much instead of allowing God to do it for me, allowing God to do His job? So if we're experiencing a lingering illness that comes and goes, we should take a close look at ourselves and do a sin check in our lives. In order to be honest with God and ourselves, we must humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord whenever we examine our lives. Think about Rasha'ul's sin of pride for a moment. Pride is a result of trying to rely too heavily on ourselves. Relying on ourselves is a response, is the opposite of God, what God wants us to do, which is to totally trust in Him, totally to rely on Him. Rasha'ul's thorn of flesh was given to him to keep him humble and to keep him relying on the Lord in every area. In verse 9, we see that the thorn in the flesh caused him to rest on God's grace. And what is grace? The definition, it's unmerited divine favor or a gift from God. Grace is a power that we receive from God. It's the power to accomplish the humanly impossible things. Whenever the Lord calls us to serve Him, most of the tasks will be too big for us to accomplish in our own ability, in our own strength. Many of us still attempt to serve God in our own strength and mess things up and get in the way of the Lord. I have found that in my own life as a rabbi. I led a congregation in El Paso, a Messianic congregation, for like 20 years. And then here, I've been here over more than 10 years now. I think it's been over 10 years now. It's going on 11 years that I have been here at this congregation. And it's very easy to operate in the flesh. It's very easy. You know, I know how to be a rabbi. You know what I'm saying? I know the blessings. I know the prayers. I know the order of service. I know all the details and all the do's and the don'ts and all that. I'm experienced. I know all those things. So easy to be caught up in the flesh. It's easy to become a professional rabbi. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to be a professional rabbi. I want to stay humble. I want to stay, I'm not going to say unprofessional. I don't want to be up here and be unprofessional. No. But I don't want to get it to be so it becomes a rote, just what I do. And there's no room for the Spirit of God. And there's no room for the Lord moving in our midst. I don't want everything, or I order everything, A, B, C, D, F, G. And there's no room for L, M, N, O, P, Q. Thank you, Lord. Where was I? Anyway, we have to stop trying to operate in our own abilities and start learning or leaning on the strength that comes from the Lord. And again, Rasha was given this thorn in the flesh to cause him to realize that he needed to lean on the Lord, as we all do. When he was stripped of his own strength, made weak, it was then and only then that true strength or God's strength rested upon him. If he had been allowed to serve the Lord in his own strength, his own ability, then all the glory would have gone to him. But when he was forced to operate in God's strength, the Lord received all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29, again, 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29, we read, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things of the world, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So sometimes God doesn't choose what seems to be the right. You know, if God's going to choose between two people for a certain task, or two men, or something or other for something, God may not choose what appears to be the best. When God was choosing David, or he was looking for a man after his own heart, and they went through all of Jesse's sons, and there was Jesse's firstborn son. He was a tall, you know, strong, strapping young guy, and the second son was same strong, and this, all of this, and the Lord kept saying, it's not him, it's not him. But there was David, a young shepherd boy. The scripture says he was ruddy. I mean, in other words, he was out in the sun all the time. His skin was tanned. His hands were rough. You know, he wasn't the one that you would think would be a king. But God chose him to lead the people of Israel. So sometimes God chooses the foolish things to shame the wise. So Rav Shaul said he boasted in and he took pleasure in his weakness. Wouldn't it be something we could do the same thing? Boast of our weaknesses. Now that's the first thing that we usually do. Or what am I saying? Now what's the first thing that we do when we become sick? Let me get a drink of water. I'm just getting too excited here. Okay. Now, what's the first thing that we usually do when we become sick? Do we say, praise the Lord. Thank you for my weakness. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm falling apart. Thank you for this terrible knee pain. Right, Bob? Thank you, Lord. I'm coughing up a storm. Thank you, Lord, for my arthritis, Lord, and my lumbago, and whatever you go. Oh, thank you, Lord, for all those things. Is that the first thing that you do? First thing that we do, we complain. And we ask God, where are you, God? Where are you? We say, why, oh God, have you forsaken me? Have you ever done that? Be honest. Have you ever thought, why, Lord, have you forsaken me? You know, even Yeshua, when he was upon the tree, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had to separate himself from Yeshua. Separate totally from Jesus. Because he could no longer look upon him. Because all the sins of the world, all the sicknesses, every disease was laid upon him. The Lord had to actually turn away from him. And forsake him for our well-being, for our sake. Yes, I have said it. I've said it more than once. I've said it probably a dozen times. Why have you forsaken me, Lord? We say a lot of things that we may not necessarily want to say. And we do things we may not necessarily want to do. But we do them, we say them. And sometimes we just feel so full of despair and hopelessness and helplessness that, why have you forsaken me, God? Why have you forsaken me? I've done it. I've done it. I think that we can see why he found a reason to rejoice. Not only did he realize that God's strength was upon him when he was weak, but the presence of this thorn in the flesh allowed by God showed him that God was at work in his life. And the thorn in my flesh that God is allowing to take place, I see that God is working in my life. And I believe what we experienced last week was because God is working in my flesh. And God is killing my flesh and allowing the Spirit to come forth. Thank you, Lord. In a way, the Lord was speaking to him through this illness, saying, hey, do you notice that your illness has returned? I'm trying to tell you something, Paul. Your pride has returned. I want you to rely on me, not on yourself. It's not you, Paul. It's me. And we tend to ask God where he is in the midst of our illness, when the very presence of it often proves that God is at work in our lives. And that's really encouraging when you think about it. Because whenever we experience something strange, it's a signal to check in with the Lord. Check in with the Lord. That pain we experience might be the result of sin, and a messenger from Satan might be tormenting us, but Satan has no power except what he has been given by God. And whenever we experience our own thorn in the flesh, we should rejoice in knowing that God is at work. So yes, I am rejoicing. I have really been full of joy. I really have been full of joy. I have been rejoicing. I can see myself smiling at times, and I'm always told, you know, you never smile. You always have an ugly face. But I want to smile. I want joy in my life. I want God moving in my life. I want the power of God coming forth from my life. And if you're here today, and I'm sure you are, otherwise you wouldn't be here, and you're suffering from a constant or a recurring illness, humble yourself before God and ask yourself, is my illness related to something in my surroundings? Is my illness triggered by stress or by the way that I react to certain situations or circumstances or certain people? Is my illness related to sin in my life? Is it related to sin in your life? If you can answer yes to these, then in order to relieve or to receive relief, you need to confess your sins before the Lord. As John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if you truly search your hearts and you can't identify some sin-related cause to your illness, don't beat yourself up and begin worrying about whether or not you're prideful, or begin worrying whether or not that you're even worrying. You may not be to blame for the illness. There we go. If this is the case, all I can recommend is that you cast all your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And you are to trust him with all of your heart, knowing that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, as it says in Romans 8:28. You know, God may just be allowing these things to take place in our lives to get our attention. Sometimes God needs to get our attention because we have turned away and we're not looking toward him anymore. That's why we need to be quick and listen to that still and quiet voice of the Lord in order to know what is the heart and what is the mind and what is the will of God for our lives. You may not be healed, but you will certainly grow in your faith and in your trust and in your obedience in the Lord. And let me tell you, this is where God's grace kicks in. This is where God's grace kicks in and then carries us all the rest of the way. Carries you all the way to heaven's throne. Amen. Let me tell you, this message ministered to me. It did. I hope it ministered to you as well. Because God is speaking and we need to listen. We need to examine We need to look at our lives and believe me, God's grace will kick in. God's grace will kick in and carry you and strengthen you in the midst of it. And be faithful. Be faithful and trust Him. Keep your eyes on Him.